Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a boys' show. I just realized that.
A rare Monday one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have Melissa out today, and hoping she's enjoying her day. And our good friend Brittany was not able to join us either this morning.
Yeah.
So just us, man.
Just us. Just us.
But it won't last that long because Beth will be in this week. We'll have Terry in with us. Melissa will be back this week as well. But we'll enjoy today. Hopefully you're going to enjoy your Monday because we got good things lined up for you, everybody. El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club around the corner. We'll also get into some lipid coverage. Got some 10 fun viral moments that would happen. We'll also get into a little bit of highlights about the Olympics.
Of course. Got to talk about the Olympics right now.
And is it unhealthy to want to look like an Olympian? We'll get into that. That's coming up.
Depends on what they're doing, I guess.
Yeah. Entertainment news kick off the 9 o'clock hour because there will not be a Kitchens Open this morning. Instead, it'll be James's Snacks. No, we won't do
what
that.
What James to the ate audience. Over the yeah. weekend. Yes.
So I had cookies and more cookies. And
disclaimer.
Yes. Do not eat like James. Unless you are six.
Yeah, right.
Then it's okay. Your teeth are going to go anyway. I do want to get into some entertainment news. Big weekend for the box office. First, I want to talk about Rod Stewart a little bit. And I know, Rod Stewart.
Hadn't been in the news for a while.
Deadpool and Wolverine had a box office record, as I said.
It would on cleaning up on the box office. Mm-hmm. No surprise.
I got to help with that.
You
saw
did.
Deadpool and Wolverine, yes.
How about that?
Oh, less than 24 hours ago I saw it. It's still in my veins. Oh. I can still feel it. The antimonium is still in my veins.
Oh,
I can
still
feel it. I want to talk about that. We've got all those things coming up for you in the 9 o'clock hour. A little bit later, we'll get into some other fun. Four more things people do without realizing they're being rude. Get into that. Got some good stories of the day and some local stuff we want to touch on today. But as you mentioned, we got to talk Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You said something in our pregame that I thought was really good, Seth, this time of year, you know, you get people talking about almost everybody talking about it, even non-sports people.
Exactly. Exactly. Everyone is, it's kind of cool the fact that we have this all-consuming worldwide thing that everyone wants to talk about and be part of. And I think that's, you know, if we could box that up, you know, and more of the time, that'd be really nice, you know, the goodwill, all that.
Yes. It would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Maybe this will help put some goodwill out there, maybe get the tone started right for today, for the week, for us, for all of us. The Olympics are in full swing, and it's awesome watching intense ping pong matches and fencing for hours all day. But if you aren't into that, maybe you should look at Dolly Parton for inspiration. She posted a video on Instagram with the caption, "Feeling the Olympic spirit, can't wait to cheer everyone on. You are all champions." And then we get to see, hear this right here. And just Dolly's from her latest album of rock covers, playing the We Are the Champions. And it's Dolly with a bunch of Olympic footage and everything.
Very inspiring. And some great Paris backdrops, too.
Yeah. And just something she did. Like her and her team just put together and everything. She's not a part of the Olympics. She doesn't need it. And then the Olympics don't need her to promote it or anything. She's just really into the Olympics and really loves watching them and everything.
How cool is that?
Wanted to cheer people up.
Yeah.
That way she holds that last note, man. It's kind of cool.
Man.
So if that does not get you fired up for synchronized swimming, I don't know what will.
Water polo.
Water polo. It's been fun. Have you gotten a chance to watch any Olympics?
No.
Okay.
No. I am not your big Olympics person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I appreciate the Olympics. I certainly do. But I'm not one to sit down and watch competition. I like hearing what happens and maybe catching a few highlights or something like that. But no, I let other people. I think Beth did some last night. She watched a little bit things. So, and I know my sister has got it on 24/7 right now. But other than that, no, I'll let them have that fun. But yeah.
Your sister and I have a lot of parallels. This is one of them.
Yes.
I've been taking in as much footage and much coverage as I can. And I want to send a shout out to the coverage. It's been very good. I think
so far,
the coverage
it's
has
sounds like it has strong, been,
yeah. Very solid. And if you're curious about the medal count or what the latest updates are, go to Olympics.com. They are doing a fantastic job online, and the app is amazing. It's better than one of the better apps I've come across, really, nice. As far as how it's keeping you up to date with the time change and all of those things. It's been pretty cool. China is number one in the medal count right now. Japan is number two. Korea, number three. I don't remember the last time I saw three Asian countries in the 1-2-3 spots before. Australia, number four, and USA, number five. Host country France is at number six, and Great Britain at number seven.
Right, and we have to note that I don't think any of the track and field stuff has happened yet.
No,
and that's usually where the U.S. dominates. So I'm sure that'll change at some point here. But
we've got a lot of games to be played, and a lot of the bigger events to come. But swimming, which is one that we are supposed to do well in, we have, and that's been great to see. I am looking forward to seeing more and more, or seeing more Katie Ledecky. Because I believe this is her last Olympics. Much like a lot of our famous athletes this year. It's interesting. And we'll talk more about this in Playmakers, 5 o'clock today, 5 to 6. So you get people that jump into the Olympics that don't pay attention to any of these sports all year long. Years in between. Right. Until they come around again. And then for 2 weeks, they are, if not an expert, they really bone up on this stuff and really care. And I thought of a parallel to that this weekend. College basketball.
Because
college basketball, we especially at this point in the game, name me the 10 best players in college basketball.
I don't think I can name you one.
We could wait until Playmakers is over later and nobody would have it.
Not really.
Not even on a team that they follow would you be able to do that nowadays. But yet we kind of complain about that, that we don't have an ability to do that. I'd like to get into it a little bit on Playmakers and how I think both can be benefited from it.
Okay.
It's something that it's interesting this time of year, the non-sports fans even diving into the Olympics.
Yep.
There is something about, and it's not just in our country, it's around the world like this, where there are countries who could care less about sports, and all of a sudden they're all in.
Yep.
It's fun. It's interesting. And again, Olympics.com is where you can find that coverage if you'd like, everybody. It's a pretty darn good. I encourage you to check that out. We are going to go ahead and get to a quick commercial break.
All right.
Check in with our partners in a moment. But first, before we do, Seth, as we're getting ready to dive into food and talking a little El Cafe, it's Wing Day.
Wing Day?
Yes, National Chicken Wing Day, everybody.
Mmm.
The mayor of Buffalo, New York, declared it is a holiday back in 1977.
Really?
So it's a 48th year.
So the mayor of Buffalo can just declare days?
Apparently.
National
He does all of them, actually. I didn't know that. All of the national day of.
The power that the mayor of Buffalo has, I had no idea.
I don't think a lot of people knew that.
I don't.
I just found out. No. A group that tracks America's eating habits found that we've eaten 1.3 billion of wings in the past 12 months.
Wow.
That's up 5% year over year. If you want to help add to that total, a bunch of places have deals today.
All right.
Buffalo Wild Wings has free wings if you spend $10 using their code or something like that. And using their code GOWINGS and get 6 free wings with your order as well.
Oh, okay.
Applebee's has a buy one, get one deal if you order through the app and use their code. All these places with their apps and their codes. And Hooters has a similar deal, but their wings are horrible. Actually, that's not me saying that, everybody. That's USA Today's article. Like, they
apparently
have the worst wings of any company.
Wow.
Which, if your company is just hanging on by a thread to begin with, and I can't, I have a hard time imagining how Hooters have stayed open. Mm-hmm. And yes, I understand. I've been in the Hooters before. I understand how they're open and how they even got greenlit, let alone. But I mean, in this day and age, for one, I'm not even talking about wokeism or anything like that. Just the idea of let's go see pretty girls. Like, okay, I mean, anytime you want to see that nowadays. You have the internet. I don't know.
You go to Target,
And not to mention, please explain to me the guy that goes to that situation I don't get it either. I do not understand how that business model ever works. No. And again, I'm a grown man. I understand, certain things.
I think it's getting phased out.
It seems like
Hooters is not the place that it once was,
Well,
it was always kind of a butt of a lot of jokes anyway.
I've never had I've had friends that, especially that drive semi and stuff, and that have stopped at Hooters when they're on the road or something like that. Not a single one of them have ever complimented the food. So obviously they're going there for one particular reason,
right.
And that reason is even fading. So
I don't know.
But there are some deals out there. If you're a wing fan, go ahead and get you some. Before we go to our break, I did want to mention two quick shout-outs to our audience. I want to say a big thank you to Matt and Hat. Matt won last week's Culver Star.
Yes, he did.
Stopped by, brought up some football cards for me and my dad. I thought that was really cool. Thank you for that, Matt. Appreciate it. And we got to send a shout-out to our friend with the postcards.
Our friend from Minnesota, yes.
Yes. Read this right from them. Please pass along to Tim, the polka guy, to keep up the good fun. A real joy listening last weekend's broadcast of the Cowbell Polka over the back fence. And fun stuff. Play it again, Tim, and tell James, don't squeeze my Charmin.
I don't get that.
Bye-bye from Egbert, Rodney's older brother.
I like that one. I like that part.
That's good.
Egbert.
I think it's a comment on last week when we were talking about taglines from commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the beef?
And, you know, that's right. Yes. Yeah, don't squeeze the Charmin, of course.
Nice. Best and smartest listeners in radio. And funniest, really.
They're pretty funny.
You know, they're pretty good looking, too. They're pretty,
yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back after checking in with our partners and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at El Cafe, and we encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there right now. 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
Well, not right now.
They're closed on Mondays.
They're closed on Mondays.
One day I will remember that. I apologize to
You'll
our friends
there.
At El Cafe.
That's right.
I just get excited talking about
it. It's true. It's true.
Great people, great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. When they open their doors again tomorrow, head on over there, 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Mm-hmm. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Love celebrating with you. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Direct message us on our Facebook pages and call up.
424-2600. Call today.
Love to hear from you, everybody.
Yeah.
Give us a call. And
there's got
to
be someone who's got a birthday that you know.
Come on. Somebody out there. We'll wait. No, call up and join the conversation. Seth, I need a 1 through 3.
Let's do 3 this morning.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. We can get right into it. First up, want to wish happy birthday to Nicole Andrews.
Happy birthday, Nicole.
Wishing you a good day, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And we wish a very happy birthday to Susan Foley Samolarik.
Oh, Susan, happy birthday.
Enjoy the day, Susan. Mm-hmm. Wishing you a good one. And we want to wish a very happy 52nd anniversary.
All right.
Everybody with us now to Ron and Sandy Het.
Oh, Ron and Sandy, happy anniversary. Congratulations.
Not only
many happy returns.
Yeah, not only that, but you're our qualifiers.
Awesome.
So happy 52nd to you too, and happy qualifying.
It's always great.
And we're just days away from pulling our winner for the month of
July.
That'd be on the lookout for that, everybody.
Yeah,
if you have
Thursday.
Not heard, what we do is at the beginning of every month, grab a name from out of this list of ours and send somebody over to El Cafe with 2 gift certificates for $20.
That's a meal and a half right there.
It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and enjoy. Let's dive into our celebrity birthdays. Ashley McBride is 41 today. Country singer who did Never Wanted to Be That Girl with Carly Pierce.
Oh, okay.
Danger Mouse is 47.
Oh, wow.
Gnarls Barkley producer and a great, great producer. One of these guys who made his name from doing his own album. Like, he mixed the white album and the black album, like, or something like that.
Yes,
and
he did. Called it the gray album, yep.
Yeah, and that put him on the map.
Couldn't release it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the rights issues. Because you're putting, like, the Beatles together with, Jay-Z, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, from what I've heard, it's it's just a mind-blowing album, but if you're going to look for it, you have to go someplace.
You're going to have to look online for that, but it is really good.
Yes.
It is really interesting and really good, and it is a masterfully produced, wonderful producer. It's a shame about Gnarls Barkley, because I was looking forward to seeing what would happen with that, with the CeeLo canceled and all that. That ain't happening, but he's an incredible producer.
Yes.
One of those guys that you go to if you're looking to get good music out.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Radnor is 50. Ted on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay.
Wayne Morris is 51 from Boys to Men. Motown Philly, It's So Hard, End of the Road.
Oh, yes.
So many hits. Will Wheaton is 52.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
Oh, Will Wheaton.
Wesley on Star Trek. Played himself on The Big Bang Theory a number of times. Mm-hmm. But I never saw Star Trek, but I do remember him as Gordy in Stand By Me.
Yes. You know, it's... boy, he's had such a fascinating career, okay? Yeah. He went from Stand By Me to, of course, Star Trek, where, sadly, there was a lot of... vitriol directed at his character of Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it spilled over into against Will Wheaton, the person, which is very sad. He has come back and he has done so many amazing things since then. His career has been really interesting, and he talks about it now, how, you know, it was tough, but how it, you know, it, how he got through it, and now he's doing everything he wants to do, and he's a fascinating interview. If you ever heard him listening to what it's like being a child star, it's really cool.
It's always cool to me to see these, I don't want to say comeback stories, because he didn't do anything that, you know, put him away. It wasn't on him.
Yeah, exactly.
What happened there. It's mind-boggling to me, the people that will associate a human being with a role that they
Seriously?
Play. Seriously? Like, that's you don't do that to, you wouldn't do that to a lot of different jobs in society. I don't know why we do it with acting.
Exactly.
But I will say, I love seeing where there's these pockets of people in society, and that you can count on in some ways. And if you are in the sci-fi community, you are brethren. You are going to get looked out for in some ways. And oftentimes, it's the same people that hurt your career that are also bringing you back.
Exactly.
Because a lot of those same people that you know, have championed him on and love seeing him on The Big Bang Theory and everything may have been some of the same people that were commenting, you
exactly.
know. Exactly. Oh, he's not perfect for Star Trek.
Yeah, right. But now he's a well-respected actor and producer and everything. So,
Timothy Olmutzson is 55.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Hilarious King Richard and Gallivant. Yes. A lot of people like that show. A lot of people really big
hilarious.
Fans of that show. Cult favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was fantastic as Kane on Supernatural. He was very good in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful charm. Perfect timing with things. But we knew that already if you were watching Psych.
Yep.
You knew it already.
He was so good in that show.
As great as those two lead actors were, that show had a perfect supportive cast.
It was a great cast. It was some of the best casting you've ever seen in a show in your life.
I would not change one person on that show. Nobody. darn it, I always forget his name, but Sean's dad.
Corbin Burnson.
Corbin Burnson. Mm-hmm. Wonderful add-on with him.
Oh.
Getting to see him like you hadn't seen him before and everything, too. Sneaky good show, everybody.
It's one of my all-time favorites.
I always like recommending that one if people are looking for shows and like looking for something to watch during the summer or anything like that. I like giving people not like, well, there's only one season of this.
Right.
That seems like they give them some with meat on it.
Yeah, Timothy Olmutzson, he not only in that show, not only, I mean, he is the foil to the main characters. Yeah. He's always angry.
Yeah.
And he somehow is so charming when he pulls off this constant rage that he's dealing with. I also want to give a shout out to him. He also suffered a stroke.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, and he's made a full recovery. It's really amazing. And he's acting again and doing it's really cool.
I've seen a lot of people suffer from that condition. I have never seen anybody come back like he did, and especially as an actor to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this may be a reach, but I think it actually there's a parallel to Jim Ross with WWE Wrestling. I think it was HCW now, a longtime announcer there. One of the best to ever do it, if not the best to ever do it when it comes to wrestling. He had a stroke, got partial paralyzation in his face, and continued to march on doing his thing.
Wow.
And I admire that so much. I think that's so, and he's still very good at what he does. Martina McBride is 58, Reckless, For These Times, Ride, In My Daughter's Eyes, and Concrete Angel. So many good hits.
She is such a great singer.
Yeah, great singer.
Love her.
The range she has. I just had not heard this before, but I read it over on the Sunrise Show this morning. By many in the community, in the country music community, she is considered the Celine Dion of the country music genre.
Really?
Because of her hits and the range she has. Maybe the best bass player of all time. Geddy Lee is 71. Rush legend, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. I don't know if everybody has the time for me to go through all of Rush's hits.
No.
There is a lot of them.
That's too much. That's a long, too long
of a list. A lot of them. I will say Ghost of a Chance is not on this list. It should be. Ghost of a Chance, really sneaky good song from Rush late in their career. Mm-hmm. Early 90s, I think, came out. But a good one. But obviously Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
Listen to Tom Sawyer and tell me that ain't one of the best, if not the best bass you've heard. Like, just incredible.
Telling you.
The fabulous Tim Gunn is 71. Fabulous from Project Runway and fashion consultant. You've seen him in commercials and different things.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know much. I'll be honest with you guys. I was dating a girl that first, like, I think the first or second season Project Runway was out. So that meant I watched a little Project Runway. And I had no interest in that show. I think fashion's kind of cool, but if you see me for 2 seconds, you know I have no fashion sense. I love Tim Gunn. That guy is awesome. I don't know much about him, to be honest, or anything, but if he were to walk into this room right now and insult me, it'd be like Don Rickles. I'd be fine. Why are you dressing like a 13-year-old? I don't know, sir. Why are you smiling at me? I don't know. I think you're awesome.
That's right.
I'd love to have him.
He's very entertaining.
I dress comfortable, but I also try to dress with a little bit of class and with the interviews we do around here and everything. If that man wanted to, like, this is your wardrobe for now on, I'm good with
You'll
it.
You'll go with
I'll
it?
I'll go with it. I'll go All with right. it. I ain't going against him. He's good. We look at some people no longer with us, like Tony Siricadio. He was Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos.
Oh.
For those that may not recognize either name, he was the guy with kind of the gray on the sides.
Okay.
He's one of Tony's main lieutenants. Fantastic actor with a lot more range than I think you realize until you go back and watch some of those and see where all over the place he can be. Just a really crazy kind of actor, but did a great job on that show.
You know, there's nothing worse than playing a wise guy in a movie, because then you are so typecast. That's probably one of the worst that's still around, is the typecasting of, like, the mobster guy.
I had my second agent told me to not tell any casting agents and never let it slip that I'm Italian. For that very reason.
Really?
He was so adamant about, well, you don't want to be typed. As an Italian actor, you will be typed. And he was adamant that it was going to happen to me in my career, whether I wanted it to or not, all this. Like, you're so right about this. Like, of all these, all the character, all the genres you can play, that is the major one, number one on the list. If you do not want to be a typed actor, do not play this type of actor.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's interesting how that works. But yeah, you're so right about that, man. More right than I think you realize.
I think it still is a thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Peter Jennings, also born on this day and born in 1938, passed away in 2005. One of the uncounted casualties of 9/11. Peter had gone 20 years without a cigarette until the attacks of September 11th in 2001 caught him to light up again.
Oh,
less
wow.
than 4 years later, he died of lung cancer.
I did not know that.
And I mentioned that just because of it's something that was important to him and his family that they mentioned that.
Mention that afterwards. Wow, that's really interesting.
But first and foremost, one of our premier journalists for a long time. We didn't realize it, but we were spoiled back in the day, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
We had three major journalists that we could count on, many more than that. But I mean, you're three big ones. Mm-hmm. You know, you're our era's Cronkites and everything. And we're really blown away by all of their coverage and all the amazing work that they would do.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Jennings was one of them.
Yes, and he was Canadian.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot
the one Canadian
that.
In the group. Yeah.
One more time, wishing happy birthdays to Nicole and Susan.
Happy birthday, you two.
And a happy 52nd anniversary to our qualifiers, Ron and Sandy Hett.
Congratulations. And happy anniversary.
Wishing you guys a fantastic one. Enjoy your anniversary. Hey, enjoy it with our friends at El Cafe when they open their doors tomorrow.
Yeah.
I remember that.
You remember that.
They'll be open tomorrow at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We're going to get to a news break. We'll come back and have some more fun talking a little Olympics when we get back on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for kicking off your Monday with us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. I want to send a shout out to Seth and Laura with the nice production on the parking lot.
The parking lot party we're having, yeah.
I just have one tinker with that. It's a house party and an open house party.
Okay.
I got to get this out there. You, Melissa, everybody keeps calling it an open house, but it's a house party too. We're gonna have a house party, baby.
House party, okay.
This is kid and play. This is like I may be the only one doing this.
I think you are.
I think I'm alone on this one. Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're talking Little Olympics now, and there has already been a bunch of viral moments from the Olympics in just a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. We're going to go through a couple of these with you real quick. Like, and I encourage you to look these up, of course, and check them out yourselves and support USA. Celine Dion's comeback performance was a highlight of the Olympic opening ceremony. It's one of the main things people talked about. Mm. It was Celine's first performance since she announced her diagnosis with stiff person syndrome in 2022. And she was amazing. She did great.
Awesome.
I am not a Celine fan. I couldn't tell you one song I really like of hers. But man, do I respect that voice. Mm-hmm. And anybody that I think it's not important to note, but I think it's a good reminder to people. Celine Dion does not need money.
No,
she does not need anything.
She's doing all right.
If she's doing this, it's because she loves to perform, mm-hmm. wants to. Yeah. You know, the pride of being able to do the Olympic opening ceremony, I can't imagine as a singer. So that's a credit mm-hmm. to her for doing that because she does not need to do it. I think it's cool that she did. Snoop Dogg was a torchbearer, and everybody was watching. There was an interesting interaction between Snoop and Hoda Kotb.
A lot
of people were talking about, and it seems like they were just talking. But everybody, of course, had to turn it into, oh, are they doing a show together? Or are they going to what this and that and everything? I think they were just catching up.
Snoop is now he's the victim of his own success because now everyone thinks. he's going to do something with them.
One of the things I think is important to note, especially when the Olympics take place in another country, mm-hmm. is Americans are just happy to see other Americans and vice versa. If you're from Spain, I'm from Spain.
And
it's not just celebrities. It's people in general.
Right.
So one of the things that I like about these moments is Tom Cruise was at the Olympics and he got swarmed by people and everything like that. And then after that, you see him in the back and he's swarming Olympic athletes. He's asking them for photos and pictures and everything. Like this, there is almost, I'm not saying this actually happens, but there is almost a balancing that happens with celebrityism and popularity mm-hmm. and everything. And there certainly is with, and I've heard this from people I've never been out of the country, but I've heard this from people out of the country. What it feels like when you're in Germany and you see another American, or you see somebody for Wisconsinites, you see somebody walking around with a Packer jersey or something. Like,
it's
a Spider-Man meme. And so you're just pointing at each other. Yeah. Oh, you too. Celebrities, the Olympics, same thing. Mm-hmm. Same thing. It could have just been, oh my gosh, another American. You speak the same as I do.
Right. It makes it better. But think about this, though. When you're a successful Olympic athlete, you're probably one of the most famous people in the country, if not the world.
Oh, in the world.
Think of how many people know the name Simone Biles or Michael Phelps or all these big stars that have done lots of records and all these kinds of things, won lots of medals. They are some of the biggest celebrities in the world. I mean, you get one thing to be Tom Cruise, but some of these people,
as big as Tom is, he's not as big as some of these athletes. You're absolutely right, especially when you have the years to build up that fame and that expectation, mm-hmm. that hope. A lot of that.
Yep.
It's really interesting to me to see, and it's still happening too.
Yep.
Overall, the opening ceremony went off without a hitch, aside from the rain. This was the first time it's rained during an Olympics opening ceremony since 1952.
Really?
That's crazy.
And they had it in London at one point. Where it always rains.
Right. Yeah. and interesting to see on the water. Them doing an opening ceremony on the water. Haven't seen that before.
Okay, yep.
That was kind of interesting mm-hmm. to see. Leave it to Paris to do it a little bit different than everybody else. Not bad. Some viewers thought that there was an embarrassing wardrobe malfunction, but that did not actually happen. South Korea was announced as the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, which is the full name of North Korea.
Oops.
The South Korean Sports Ministry has said it planned to submit a strong complaint with France on a government level. The IOC has apologized as well. There are mix-ups and there are mess-ups, and then there are what are you doing? Like, whoa.
Whoopsie.
Whoa.
You should check on that before you start talking, you know? Just make sure you want to double check on
accidents
that.
Accidents happen and all, but you can't let that accident happen.
That's a little bit,
There was the unusual arty weirdness, of course, of some other things, too, that happened. It got some, you know, notoriety, got some attention and everything.
Sure.
All in all, Pretty smooth.
Look at all the people that are there. Look at all the athletes that are there. I mean, there's going to be stuff that goes a little goofy sometimes.
There's a lot of things like this in life, but this is another one of those things that we have normalized that we can't normalize. This went off without a hitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's insanely amazing in this day and age.
Got to give the organizers a lot of credit.
All these different countries, all of these athletes, all of these spectators from mm-hmm. literally all around the world
yep.
coming to Paris. And do you understand how big Paris is, everybody? It ain't that big. It's not that big of a city
everything.
So all of that considered, and it went out without a hitch, that's impressive.
That's good.
It's also another thing to note, something that we were talking about fame and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are so close to this here in America that we don't see it as often. But fame is an everyday thing. There are thousands and thousands of famous people that you're going to see on your social media, on your sure. and your in your on your radio, all on your TV, all mm-hmm. of that. Every day we are bounded by fame.
It's very, very true.
And what that is to be famous. And every day there is new artists and new people that pop up and all of this. And some people with 15 seconds and some people with 15 years. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of that. Other countries around the world don't have this. They're not, and that's saying there's no other country like it, but there's no other country like it. There really isn't. And when you're talking about, well, who's going to be famous in America? Well, it's probably going to be, your musicians, your creatives, some of those mm-hmm. things, maybe some politicians here and there and some of that. In other countries, they don't have as much of these other factors, and they're not as obsessed with some of these things like we are.
Yeah.
So they promote their local athletes more. Hey, so-and-so from our town is going to be in the Olympics, and that's the big celebrity in that country.
Right.
So to your point about Tom Cruise maybe not as big, where his fame here, mm-hmm. or maybe in parts of Europe, is nothing compared to Latin American countries.
Or
some other things, where Messi or some of these soccer stars or some of these Olympic athletes
worldwide
dwarf yes. Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Who is, and that's not a shot at Tom Cruise.
No.
It's just a perfect example of a guy who's built up 40-some years of fame, one of the biggest celebrities in the world,
mm-hmm.
and even people like him are unknown to some.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Kind of interesting. Just some other notes about the Olympics, some quick hits here. So more than 80 medals were handed out in the opening weekend of the Olympics.
Wow.
And Team USA won 12 of those.
Woo!
Because we're going to tell them.
Oh, jeez.
Seven came in swimming, including a gold for Tori Husk in the women's 100-meter butterfly. If you
Very
get a
cool.
chance to watch that, everybody. It was an amazing race.
Mm-hmm.
And the men's team took gold in the 100-meter freestyle relay. That was a lot of fun to watch, too. American fencer Lee Kiefer also won gold in women's foil.
Oh, cool.
So that is three early golds. And that is saying something, because if you have not, Pablo Torre has a fantastic show, and he does some really deep dives, and he's a great reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He did a dive on fencing, and the most tainted sport in the Olympics is fencing. It's specifically laser fencing. Like you don't have to do a deep dive into that to see the Russian ties and the oligarchs and all the money and different things that is put into fencing. So to see an American win fencing is actually saying something.
Well, and traditionally, the United States isn't big in fencing either. Yeah. It's more of an old country kind of thing. Yeah.
Shout out to them. The U.S. also snagged six silvers in swimming, diving, fencing, and mountain biking. The men's basketball team crushed Serbia 110-84.
Yeah.
U.S. surfers dominated the opening rounds. And the women's gymnastics team crushed through their qualifier.
Wow. that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody.
And I think that a lot of people felt it when Simone Biles tweaked her calf. I even grabbed mine when I saw it. I'm sure that some other countries, some other gymnasts and everything may have seen this and thought there's blood in the water. Make no mistake about this. Simone Biles may be the hungriest athlete at the Olympics.
Mm.
And this is saying something, considering not only is her legacy set, she's the GOAT.
Right.
She is the GOAT. If Simone Biles is one of these athletes, if you don't care about gymnastics and you're just curious, what do they mean she's the greatest of all time? Pull up any routine in her career and you'll see what I'm talking about, let alone this last one where she blew my mind doing two different moves that I've never seen a gymnast do before. And I've been watching gymnastics my whole life with my mm-hmm. family very tied to
right.
it and everything. this is the worst thing that could happen to any other gymnast in any other country, because she's already been motivated. She already had the last Olympics where she was not able to perform.
Yep.
She's coming into this knowing this is her last run, knowing this is her last Olympics, and wanting to believe it all out there. And if she's been doing it, if she's a little tweaked, if she's a little hurt, what does that do to to a motivated athlete? What does that do to it just pushes them even farther.
I just hope it doesn't end up like some major injury, though. Like, yeah, she actually lands wrong, and it's like, no.
It looked like an injury, like you know, ask a football player in week 14 what their injuries are. You know,
it's exactly.
like that, and they'll still go out there and play.
Well, and to, you know, just to tweak Olympic coverage a little bit. Now this is the motivator. Now she's the underdog, right? Like they love to do. They love the underdog storyline. Yeah, she's the greatest ever, but uh-oh, she's got a little tweak. She might have something a little wrong there with her muscle. Oh no, she's going to be the underdog now.
There are a lot of great gymnasts around the world, and there are a lot of great gymnasts on our own team in this country.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one lion in gymnastics, and she does not need motivating. She's not fine. She's going to be fine.
It's not like she's not competitive. I mean, she got here because of how competitive she is.
Paris is 6 hours ahead of the East Coast, so a lot of events are happening in the early morning as we speak. Yep. Don't want to ruin anything if you're watching them in prime time. So coming into today, the U.S. led with 12 medals, followed by France and 8, and Japan with 7. Australia and Japan had the early lead in the golds with 4 apiece. So those were the numbers I was giving you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's interesting. And we will continue to watch and keep you up to date.
Yes.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.
Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around, round, round. I get around. I get around.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a great one out there. I'm going to take it to the top of the hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick off talking a little entertainment news. Looking forward to that. Get into some Rafters talk. Let you know about that as well. Rafters, I've got a lot of important games. They're all important games coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's a playoff game
Absolutely
right now.
Absolutely, it is.
And there's also a lot of great promos going on with the Rafters we want to talk about as well. And a little bit later in the 9 o'clock hour, we got 4 things people do without realizing they're being rude.
How rude.
How rude of them to put that list together. We will get into all that, but we were just talking Olympics, and a lot of people are watching the Olympics. Mm. Even people who don't really care about sports very much might be watching them. But if you're watching the Olympics and wishing your body looked like that, give yourself a break.
Yes, please.
Have some grace. Give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
Someone talked to fitness and body image experts who say it's just not realistic for most people, and thinking like that can actually be unhealthy. Olympic athletes are in the best shape they'll ever be in because they're in the prime of their life and it's all they focus on.
Exactly. It's their job, basically.
One expert put it like this. You never expect someone to be as good as you at your job if they only did it 3 hours a week.
Exactly.
I just got done saying Simone Biles is the best gymnast I've ever seen. She's the GOAT. And she's even really good on the mic at a good interview.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't do this. You can do this.
No.
You know?
No, exactly.
Now, given her time and everything like that, maybe she could and everything, but she also couldn't walk into any mechanic shop right now and fix a carburetor.
Yeah, right. Like, exactly.
You know? But we've all got our skills.
Hey, something I have in common with her.
they say if you find yourself feeling self-conscious while watching the Olympics, just look around your home and consider what you have, your hobbies, family, friends, and pets. If you spent as much time working out as Olympians do, you might not have any of those things. Mm-hmm. So that's the trade-off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's like anything else. You know, this is kind of a, we're talking about it once again, you know, kind of thing. It's like, they work at it a lot. In fact, that's all they do. So, that's why they're going to look like that. And remember, too, it's like a specific set of like muscles and stuff they work on for each specific, you know, event. Mm-hmm. So that you're not going to look like say, look at an archery person. Well, they're going to want to have good shoulders, you know, strong shoulders and strong wrists and arms, you know, maybe a little bit of leg work. But that's the main thing for them. is the stuff that they need. So, yeah.
I think it's not only important to note, it's a good thing for us to be reminded of. Even if you're not feeling this way, it may be a self-conscious thing that you're mm-hmm. not even realizing you're comparing yourself to these Adonises and everything, it's not fair. This happens a lot with acting. I think Jake Gyllenhaal is one of the best actors in the world. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned before, if we had Olympics for acting, I'd want him for the U.S. I'd put him out there. I'd feel confident putting him out there for the U.S. He just recently did the Roadhouse movie and got in shape like I didn't even know he was capable of.
Right.
And he's done boxing movies and stuff that he didn't get in this kind of shape for. But he was playing a former MMA athlete.
Right.
And so he got in MMA shape. And I know other actors that I'm talking to, and they're like, I can't look like that. Yes, you can if you have the money and a trainer and the time, and that's your job. His job was to get in that kind of shape.
To look like Patrick Swayze, basically. Yeah.
So we got in good shape. Yeah. So we got, it's what you do. But you can't compare that. It's the same thing. If you were in that situation and you are also getting, you have the money, you have the time and all that, and then you don't look good, well, then, I mean, maybe you might have a little, be a little angry at yourself.
Right, exactly.
Or whatever, but motivated about it.
But that's, and that's a great point. They have the resources to do that. And again, Olympic athletes have the resources to do this. There's lots of ways that they can, they don't have to do a job, go to a work or kind of thing. They can do this, just get this so they can get ready for the Olympics.
There's also the kind of like hidden nod we all have with the Olympics, and mm-hmm. even the athletes do. We all know this is a short amount of time.
It is.
Even the most famous Olympic athletes, by September, October, we're not going to be talking about them.
Nope.
We'll be talking about football or whoever the current athletes are. In other mm-hmm. countries, they'll be talking about soccer stars and mm-hmm. some of that and everything. And so it's not just us here. It's around the world.
Oh,
it's
absolutely,
like this.
Yeah.
And the athletes get that, too. So I think that there is that behind this as well, not only for motivation for getting in good shape and all of those things,
right.
but the idea of how big this is
mm-hmm.
and how much it matters. And with that, you're going to have more attention and more critiquing in some of these things. Being inspired to exercise more is great as long as you're realistic with it.
Yes, please.
For someone with a full-time job and kids, working out 5 days a week and for 30 minutes might be an Olympic-sized goal. But there's nothing wrong. I also don't think there's anything wrong with trying.
Right. Or if it's something you enjoy, if it's like a hobby, like they were talking about, maybe that is your hobby, going to work out or whatever. Hey, no problem with that. Go right ahead.
It's just, you got to have some context with
this.
You got to give yourself some grace and have some realistic expectations with mm-hmm. it and everything. This is I wasn't sure if we were to touch on this, but we got time.
All right.
This to me is that ain't right story, but to each their own. The idea of being cryogenically frozen when you die has been gaining steam among rich people for years who want to live forever. But I don't know. They'd be dirt poor where they woke up, so I don't know if they realize that or not, but anyway. Bloomberg just did a big article on how financial planners are trying to figure out how to preserve your fortune as well as your body. You can't leave yourself money when you die, and most states have limits on how long trust funds can last.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of states, it's around 100 years. Florida is the longest with 1,000. So
it's Florida.
Yeah, of course. So now those planners are trying to figure out how to create something, a revival trust.
Oh, for crying out loud.
One estate lawyer said he's working with around 100 clients who want to be frozen. And the first thing they're worrying about is having enough there to at least cover the thawing out process. Oh, that's funny. Oh, I like the idea of this. They find a cure for you 1,000 years from now and everything, and they're about to flaw. Ooh, that bank account's empty.
Sorry. We're going to freeze you again.
We're going to have to kick you out to the curb. Kick you. They talked to a 76-year-old guy in Michigan who's trying to plan for life after death, and he's putting over $100,000 into a revival trust, with the rest going to his daughter and a foundation he set up.
Oh, that sounds like a scam.
Yep.
By the way, when famous people make foundations, it's a scam.
Yeah.
And I don't want, and I know a lot of like people we like do that too. It's a way to hide money. I'm just going to put it right out there. It's a way to hide money.
More times than not.
Yeah. Tax stuff. Yeah.
More times than not, it tends to be those things.
Yep.
This, it, like, I come from the other side of the tracks. Right. I have a sixth sense for a hustle. I have a sixth sense for a scam, these kind of things. Boy, baby, I wish I'd come up with this one.
Yeah, that's a good one, man.
Boy, this is a good one. This is a good hustle. This is totally more power to you, man. You can take rich people's money. Go ahead, I guess.
I was totally. That was one of the 2 points I was going to make. It's like, obviously, it's the planners. They're like laughing all the way to the bank on this one because it's like, how many fees can I charge for this? Oh yeah. Second one. This shows you how empty having a lot of money is.
Oh yeah.
All they're trying to do is figure out how they can keep their money for longer after they die.
Yeah.
What the heck? Is your life that horrible? That's all you do?
Yeah, we're literally told all the time, you can't take it with you. Like, and this doesn't change that.
No.
You can't take it with you. And not even all of that. Let's say it is a hustle, and they are. How are you going to prove it? What are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do from your cryogenic chamber?
Yeah, thaw me in 1,000 years. Okay, wink.
Hey. My money wasn't there. Well, you're frozen. Like, good luck. Yeah. Good luck. That guy that sent you that deal, he's been gone for 1,000 years.
He lived really well, too, on your money.
I don't like anybody being hustled. I don't like anybody being scammed. But the people that they are doing this to, if you are going to hand them your money, because nobody's falling for anything. They're doing this willingly. They're seeking out these planners, quote-unquote planners and everything. Man, I got nothing against that hustle.
There's something that to be said about the con man who goes after the people who are trying to do something wrong anyway.
Yeah.
They know that, you know what? They're just helping them do more wrong stuff. So you're right. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, well, they weren't going to do bad stuff anyway.
Yeah, can't really. Especially if you could, $100,000 could change lives all around the world.
Absolutely.
And you want to just let it sit there for you in your frozen head next to Ted Williams. And just hoping for the Hit King and you to come out. Hit King, of course, with Pete Rose. But, I think of Ted Williams as the biggest.
The best hitter of all time, right? Yeah. But and we get to laugh at them. Ha ha.
Yeah. I will say this. If they're right, I didn't see that one coming.
No.
That'd be a twist.
But I'll be dead, so I won't care.
Yeah, exactly. and I wouldn't want to do it even if I could. You know?
Not really.
No.
I've done enough.
I mean, it seems cold. Seems like it'd be really cold. I hate getting cold. We'll be back with more show on The Morning Show here at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W2.